The 18th chapter is a summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita, and the Lord is sequentially going through the various chapters, summarizing them, and then giving us more details, further clarifying the information that he has given earlier. Like any good speaker, after having completed a talk, at the end the speaker will summarize the main points of what he or she has said. So the first few verses of the Bhagavad, of the 18th chapter, talk about the first three chapters of the teaching, the third, fourth, and fifth. The third chapter is Karma Yoga, the fourth is the Yajna, working with the Yajna spirit, and the fifth is giving up the doership, enjoyership. And so these ideas have been covered and will be further expounded in today and then maybe next week's talk, more about the theory of karma. So far we have heard that Arjuna asked the difference between tyaga and sannyasa, and the Lord said tyaga is to work without fruit, without any selfishness, and sannyasa is to give up the doership, the enjoyership, give up the ego. And activities we have to do, so Krishna says, yajna jnana tapa karma na tyajyam Pavanani Manishinam. They purify our mind. Activities that are done for the benefit of the community, yajna, dana is charity, and tapa is self-improvement. These three must be done because they purify the mind and help us evolve further. Then we studied about the three kinds of tyaga. Tyaga is renunciation, not renunciation, but giving up, abandonment. And tyaga is of three kinds. Most of the Gitas, it talks about the gunas in several chapters. So here Krishna says, the tamasic tyaga is giving up with delusion, with a wrong understanding, I give up my duties. Without true understanding, that is called tamasic. Rajasic is giving up because it is too painful. It's too difficult. I don't want to do this job. It's hard. Even though I'm supposed to do it, it's a bother, kaun karega, you know, that is called rajasic. Sattvic tyag is not giving up the work, but giving up attachment, giving up fruit. And that we have studied last week, how sattvic individual functions in the world. So then Arjuna has a doubt that it seems very difficult. How can I work without attachment, without thinking about the fruit, and just keep on doing my duty? It doesn't seem that easy. So Krishna must have seen some doubt in Arjuna's face. So he further expands on how a sattvic individual does this tyaga, the sattvic tyaga, what exactly it is, will be explained a little further in verse number 10. Na dveshya kushalam karma. Kushalenanushajyate. Tyagi sattva samavishtah. Medhavi chinna samshayah. Beautiful description of a sattvic tyagi, sattvic individual. So he says, na dveshti. Akushalam karma. Akushalam karma is disagreeable work, work which I don't like to do. I'm supposed to do it, but I don't like to do it. There are so many things in our home or in our work. I don't feel like doing it. It's supposed to be done, but I don't like it. I hate this job. You know, I hate this particular. It could be anything. It could be, you know, doing the dishes or vacuuming. At the office, you know, what happens, the work that nobody wants to do is given to the lowest person. You know, the beginner who has just started, they give him the lousy jobs. Why? Because nobody else wants to do it. But a wise person, na dveshti akushalam karma, even if he doesn't like to do it, he doesn't hate it. And kushale na anushajyate, and he does not get attached to agreeable work. You know, this I like doing. So we keep on doing that. And what we don't like, we keep on postponing, you know, or giving it to somebody else, or, you know, letting it, the work suffer. No, If the work is to be done, I will do it whether I like or I don't like. So to go beyond likes and dislikes is the number one quality of a sattvic individual. He does what is supposed to. Karyam karma. Even last week Krishna says what is supposed to be done, he does it without worrying about his personal likes and dislikes. If it is good to be done, I will do it. And why can he do that? Such a tyagi, how is he able to do it? Sattva samavishtaha. His mind is full of purity. He is a pure mind. And how does the mind get pure? As we have talked many times before, an impure mind is a mind that has a lot of vasanas, a lot of selfishness, anger, greed, jealousy, hatred. But a mind which is filled with the Lord's name, filled with the Lord's name, and that such a mind is a sattvic mind. So as you think about the Lord, to that extent your mind becomes pure. So when he dedicates his activities to the Lord, his mind is full of purity, love, compassion, kindness, then such a person is said to be a true tyagi. And there is another beautiful word Krishna describes, medhavi. Medha shakti is a beautiful word which sometimes they translate as intelligence. Intelligence is part of that. Yeah, intelligence means I understand what people tell me. But the ability to retain, the ability to reproduce, and the ability to use the knowledge at the right time is medha shakti. It's not only understanding, but I understand, I retain it. You know, like a lot of times we listen something, at that time, very nice, very nice. But then how much of it do we retain when we listen to something? And then, am I able to then reproduce it and use it at the right occasion? So that is called Medha Shakti. In fact, there is a beautiful suktam called Medha Suktam, which is very popular. And a lot of people study and memorize. And they say that if you can study and memorize that, even understand it, it improves your Medha Shakti. So just chanting, even just chanting that mantras every day, Medha Suktam is supposed to, I actually only have memorized the first verse, but that itself has, you know, it's so beautiful. So the point is that Medha Shakti is the ability to understand. So this individual, his understanding is very clear, Chinna Samshaya, and he has no doubts. So such a person whose mind is pure, who has clear understanding, without doubts, no ambiguity, such a person functions without likes or dislikes, without agreeable or disagreeable. He does not get attached to things he likes and detached from things he dislikes. What is to be done, he does. Let's spend a little time talking about such an individual. As we said, no work is too small for such an individual, and no work is too difficult. If it is to be done, if it is good for the organization, I will do it. Wherever I work, whether it's an oil company or whether I'm in a university or whether I'm working for a big multinational corporation and nobody recognizes my work, you know, he's just a small cog. Nobody cares what he does or she does. No, but if it is the right thing to do, I will do it. Sometimes the boss may praise him, you are the best employee I have seen in the last 25 years. Nobody has done as good a job as you have. He doesn't get over elated because he knows next week when some little mistake happens, the boss will put all the blame on him. It was because of him this project didn't succeed. So he knows that. He knows that there will be one day praise, one day criticism. But my goal is I get paid from this organization, I get my living from here, and so whatever is the best. Same way, you know, a physician or a, you know, somebody like that. It is the patients who pay my salary, who take care of me. So it is my job to do my duty regardless of what kind of patient comes. Any kind of patient, any race, any color, any ethnicity, maybe even looking not very clean. But if I have taken this job to serve, then I should serve everybody, regardless of who comes to me, regardless of their ability to pay. So that ability, that functioning, if I can do, then such a person is said to be na dveshti akushalam karma, agreeable and disagreeable. All circumstances, he is equanimous. And he knows that life will throw sometimes, you know, some people will throw arrows at him, some people will throw flowers at him. He accepts everything with equanimity, because in life nothing is ever the same. You know, the change is the changeless law of nature. Gurudev always says that the life will always change. If things are going fine, don't get too happy, because around the corner there will be sorrow. And if things are going sorrowful, don't be disillusioned, because the happiness is around the corner. So such a person does not get attached to his or her emotions or concepts. Does not say, you know, I should always be happy. I'll only associate with people who make me happy. No, he knows that in his mind, sometimes there may be happy emotions, sometimes there may be joy, sometimes there may be anger. Something is not going well, he may have. But he watches the emotion, does not let the emotion take him over. Otherwise, what happens to us? You get angry and then you just say things you don't, you know, you wish you had not said. Afterwards, you regret. But a wise individual knows that these emotions will arise, but being a witness, he watches his mind. And as a witness, he's able to control his emotions and remain relatively balanced. It does not mean that if something is going wrong, he won't say it. But inside, he will not have any anger or hatred or any, you know, arrogance. He will do it because it is the right thing to do. And the same thing is, we also get attached to our concepts, our ideas. You know, this is right, this is wrong, especially now with the elections. You know, people are so strong about, you know, I'm a conservative, I'm a liberal, I'm a Republican. And then, you know, there's so much, you know, anybody who belongs. And now we find with availability of guns, now they just go and shoot, you know, somebody. And even kids like this, yesterday in the prom, because this girl said no to him. So he took a gun and shot two people. I mean, you know, it's becoming so, people have no tolerance for anybody, because everybody has a gun. So if you don't have it, your father has it. All you do is just get it. Everybody, they're teaching their children how to shoot. They take them to the shooting ranges. And so there is total lack of tolerance. There is total lack of understanding. There is total lack of acceptance. The other person could also be right. You know, that's why somebody, I don't remember who it was, I think Nehru was, he said, I may disagree with your opinion, but I will fight to the death to give you the right to disagree with me. He says, I'll fight for your right, just even though you don't, I don't agree with you, but you should have the freedom to choose your opinions. So such a person is not only for on himself, the person is strong. Okay, I should not. But for others, he's very compassionate, he's very loving. It's our is the other way around. We forgive everything about ourselves, but we are hard on others. But a true saint is hard upon himself, that I should not let these situations bother me. But if somebody is hurting, his heart melts, he's full of compassion. So such a person is called na dveshti akushalam karma kushalane na anushajyate. He does not get attached to disagreeable or agreeable actions. And then we said he is intelligent. He has no ambiguity. His knowledge is very clear, perfect. Why? Because he has studied this. As we said, he has medha shakti. Whatever he studies, he is able to retain and then use it in his life. Then only the knowledge is complete. It's like I have studied how to do surgery, but then when a patient is there in front of me, I completely forget, you know, what am I supposed to do? Or an engineer, they're asking him to make plans and he says now he has forgotten. You know, how am I supposed to construct? So knowledge is only beneficial when it can be applied. And why is that? Because he says, because he has studied it from his guru without ambiguity. In fact, there is a beautiful text written by Shankaracharya called Jivan Mukta Nand Lahiri. I have actually talked about that before. It's so beautiful. It's a very small text, but so clear. So it says, the man of wisdom, in the first verse itself, Pure Pauran Pashyan Nar Yuvati Nama Kriti Mayan, it goes on like that. And then the last line of each verse says, Munir Na Vyamoham Bhajati Guru Diksha Kshatatama. Such a muni, a contemplative individual, Na Vyamoham Bhajati, he never gets deluded. Why? Guru Diksha Kshatatama, his ignorance has been destroyed by Guru Diksha. So having the Guru, he has faith in the Guru, having studied from the Guru, then he never gets into any ambiguity. He has no doubt about what is my duty, what am I supposed to do, what is you know, what is my goal in life? Talking about Guru, this American had a lot of doubts, a lot of questions. And he asked a lot of people, you know, about Vedanta. And nobody could give him a satisfactory answer. He had this long list of questions. So somebody told him, there is this very enlightened master. He's sitting in the Himalayas in the top of one of the peaks. He has a small little hut there, and he just sits and meditates. You go to him, there is nobody more brilliant than he. He will answer all your questions. So he says, okay, how can I find him? So he asked people, and somehow he, with a lot of difficulty, he finds out. So he flies to Delhi, then from Delhi he flies to Kathmandu, then from Kathmandu he rents a jeep with a driver, and after 2-3 days of driving, reaches the bottom of the peak, and now he has to hike to the top. So he gets some hiking gear, and he's a good hiker. So takes him 2-3 days with a tent and camping, and all. Finally he reaches the top of the peak, and he finds this Mahatma in deep meditation. And he sees, and he just waits. And when he comes out of meditation, he bows down to him and says, you know, Guruji, I have come all the way from America. It took me 2 weeks to reach here. I have a lot of questions. So Guru says, let me see. So he gives him the list of questions. Guru said, why did you come all the way? You could have gone to my website. Even gurus have become modern. So having got the right knowledge, then the person has no doubt. He has no ambiguity. His understanding is very clear. And Gurudev in his commentary says that who is an individual who is Medhavi? So he says he has to have four things very clear. One is, what is this field? What is this world I am dealing with? He has a very clear understanding of the world. He sees the world as it is. He does not have his own coloring. See, what we do is we look at the world through colored glasses. You know, if I wear red glasses, the world looks red. If I wear green glasses, the world looks green. So if I have my preconceived notions about what is right, what is wrong, then we look at the world with that particular prejudice. You know, only people belonging to this race are good. People belonging to that race, they are all like that. So we judge people on very, very superficial things, what he looks like, or which country he belongs to, or which community he belongs to, or which part of town he lives in. So we look at the world with colored glasses. His vision is clear. He knows how to evaluate the situation as it is, without any preconceived ideas of right and wrong. Then secondly, he knows his own instruments. He knows how my body is working. He knows my body, my mind, my intellect. As we said, with the body I perceive the objects, with the mind we feel emotions, with the intellect we think the thoughts. So with the body, mind, and intellect, we deal with the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. And he knows that my mind is chanchal. It's very erratic. Someday will be happy, someday will be unhappy. And he knows that the intellect is the one that has to control the mind. So with my right understanding, with his Medha Shakti, he does not allow his mind to dictate. In fact, our saying from Swami Chinmayananda today is, which we will be telling the children, not to do what you feel like doing is freedom. So we need to think about it. What is freedom? Not to do what you feel like doing. So he knows what I should do, what is the right thing to do. And so he has a clear idea of his instruments, of his body, mind, and intellect, how to use his body, mind, and intellect to serve the world, to make this world a better place. That is their goal in life. And then he knows that Om, the divinity, is in me. Each and every one of us have the Lord's presence in us, Krishna or Ram or Jesus or Buddha. They are in us and they are functioning through us. So his every action is devoted to the Lord, constantly remembering the Lord. I am the Lord's instrument. I am the Lord's servant. I am here because he has placed me here. Whatever location I have been placed is the right place for me to grow, to evolve. And let me work as his instrument without I or my. Everything is his. O Lord, thy will be done. Jesus said, thy will be done, O Lord, not mine, not mine. Let your will be working through my actions. So he knows his divinity and he knows what is my relationship with the world. and what is my relationship with God. So when such a person working with that kind of understanding, that kind of wisdom, is said to be a medhavi, chinna samshaya, brilliant, intelligent person without any doubts. I'll now talk about a couple of stories about such individuals. So as you know, Raman Maharishi was a great saint of the 20th century, was a realized master, very evolved, and lived in an ashram in South India, Tiruvannamalai. So one day, they were talking about Karma Yogi and what is Karma Yoga. And Raman Maharishi spoke very little. Most of the time he stayed in silence. And people who came there, just in his presence, they got, you know, wisdom. All their questions were answered. So they were talking about Karma Yoga. So they said, but you know, when we walked in, there was some sadhu in orange clothes and he was arranging slippers. You know, people, how they come, they just take off. Even in the mission, we always keep telling, don't throw your slippers here and there, prop, put them in the shelf. And so people had just thrown their slippers. So they said, but who is this individual? Who is this person? Looks like a sadhu, but why is he arranging slippers? So somebody went out and asked. And you know who that individual was? It was Swami Shivananda, who was Swami Chinmayananda's first guru and the founder of Divine Life Society. He was a physician who had given up his practice of medicine, lived in the Himalayas, serving the poor, working, and at the same time, very evolved thinker. His knowledge was profound. So he was a true Karma Yogi, at the same time had a lot of Gyan. And he had come to pay respects to Raman Maharishi, because Raman Maharishi is an enlightened. And he walked and he said, how can I serve this great Mahatma that I'm going to visit? He said, my best service is organize the slippers. So he had no problem, you know, but you and I will say, that's not my job, you know, let the volunteers do it. So that is the attitude of these great Mahatmas, because they do what is to be required, what is to be done. They do not look at it's my job or it's not my job. Whatever is to be done, I will do it without any likes and dislikes. Another story about Raman Maharishi himself. So in his ashram, it started just as a, you know, he alone, but then slowly, so many visitors were coming and so many people used to come and see him. There was not enough space. So his followers built an ashram. They called it Raman Maharishi Ashram. And it became pretty big. And sometimes hundreds of people, you know, would walk by and they would just sit, you know, just sit with the Mahatma. And sometimes he would answer questions. But most of the time, just sitting in his presence, he was such an evolved master, all your problems were solved. And so what would happen? People would come in the morning and sit all day and they had to be fed, right? So at 12 o'clock, people in the ashram who were living in the ashram and who were his followers and who were staying would be fed every day. People, of course, gave donations and all, and a lot of, you know, so there was. But Raman Maharishi had a custom that people in the ashram will be fed at 12, but at 11:30, all the beggars of the city who come, you know, who are outside, there will be a line of beggars, they will be fed first. So the poor people, the beggars will be fed first, and then people who are in the ashram, who are living there, or who have come to study, or who have been staying, all who have been there all day, they will be fed afterwards. So that was his rule. So 11:30, feed the beggars first and all the, you know, the poor people. And then after they are fed, then the people in the ashram. So one day it so happened that a group of ministers from Delhi had come and they had come to get darshan of Raman Maharishi. And so they were sitting and talking and all. And, you know, so they said, you know, these are special VIPs from Delhi. So maybe can we feed them first? So some people decided, yeah, we should feed them, you know, first before the others. So they were taken to a private room and they were being fed, you know, because they are special, they are VIP. And Raman Maharishi didn't say anything. So after some of the people were feeding the ministers and others went out and they started feeding the poor people, the beggars and all. So as they got to the end of the line, there was a man standing without any bowl. Most of them would have little bowls for the food. And they looked up and they saw Raman Maharishi himself. And he was standing there and he said, oh, you are here with the... He says, look, my place is here with the poor people, not with the rich politicians. You know, they have come from Delhi, but they are servants of the people. They do not deserve any special favors. Why? Because for me, they are the same, the people outside and the people inside. So that is the vision of the Mahatma. He didn't say, oh, it's my ashram, it is Ramana ashram, named after me. So what I want should go. No, he didn't say anything. Just by his silence, by standing in the line, he proved to the people that there is nobody big, nobody small, nobody great. Everybody is the same in the eyes of the Lord. And that's what Mahatma, that's why they say Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. A true saint or a true Mahatma becomes Brahman himself. Brahma Bhuyaya, he becomes worthy of Brahman. And how can I become worthy of Brahman? By making my life full of his or her, you know, if it's a mother goddess, whoever the god you worship, see them in all beings, see them in that only, then only you can be called a true saint or a true philosopher. And that is the difference between a philosopher and a saint. A philosopher talks, a saint lives. A philosopher may have studied the scriptures. He may be able to chant beautifully in Sanskrit and may know all the details of the grammar and have done double PhD, and then he can be teaching other PhD students. That's good. I'm not putting that down. You know, we need philosophers, we need scholars, we need teachers, we need PhDs. And that is very good. But the teaching should not remain only in the books. And a saint actually lives the teachings. He becomes what? You know, so Bhagavad Gita, that's why somebody asked Swami Chinmayananda. He told Swami Chinmayananda, he says, Gurudev, I have gone through the Bhagavad Gita 3 times. So Gurudev says, you have gone through the Bhagavad Gita, but has the Bhagavad Gita gone through you? Then only the knowledge is. So that is the difference between a philosopher and a saint. And a true saint is one who sees the Lord in him, sees the Lord in everybody, and that's why for him, they are all me. They are not. It's not even that they are my devotees or they are my, but they are all me. I alone am in all of these. And same thing he says, I am in all the trees, I am in all the animals, I am in all the birds. I mean, not I as arrogance, but I as the Om, the consciousness that is in me pervades everything. This whole universe, Isha Vasyam Itagam Sarvam, Yat Kinchit Jagatyan Jagat. The Isha Vasya Upanishad starts with that. That a wise person says, whatever you see in this world, whether it is moving or unmoving, tena tyaktena bhunjitaha. He says, remember that this world, everything is pervaded by that Lord. Do not attach yourself to anything, but be one with all. So that understanding comes. So that is the essence of this verse, of this beautiful verse, about this sattvic individual who does sattvic tyaga and does his work without likes and dislikes, irrespective of praise or criticism. His understanding is very clear. Why? Because he has studied from the guru, studied the scriptures, and brought the scriptures into his life, as we saw the examples of all the great saints. So this is this verse. Any questions, any comments?
Just in a particular subject, automatically remember everything.
Right. True. Yeah, yeah. As a human, you're absolutely right. We cannot be a scholar in everything.
Right.
But then whatever he is doing, the ability to retain. See, whatever he, suppose he, I mean, like say Swamiji is talking, and if you go and listen, how much of it do I actually retain? Having heard what he is speaking, how much do I retain? And that can only happen when you are alert. See, living a life of alertness, that is what is called Medhavi. It does not mean that he has to be a jack of all trades, in a master of none. No, he'll be a master. But in that field, then he's a complete master. Then he has completely understood and applied that. So whatever he does to the best of his ability. Does it, you know, to the best, to his best. He puts all his effort. That is what we mean. He cannot be a scholar of physics and chemistry and biology and not all of those. Whatever he is, he's the best at what he does. But I think that's a good point. Thank you.
Is that the same as presence of mind?
Right. He is there where he is with full attention. Right. True. Gurudev says, na, put your mind where your hands are working. So work with full attention so that your work is successful. Then only your work will be the best. Otherwise, it will be a half-hearted job.
So right? Living in presence at all times.
Right, right. And living in mindfulness. Nana Patel always teaches that, living in mindfulness. That I remember, I've heard her giving talks. So even when you're eating, you eat with mindfulness. What am I eating? Doing one thing at a time with full attention. Yes.
Say, Om Mahaveda, but so contradicting, but I'm just...
Right, right. Yeah, that you can say sarcastic. Oh, he's such a smart guy, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
it's the same thing. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Om Shanti.